The occupants of the complex seemed to wander too far from its fragile security.
They aren't fishes. You know that.
Seems crazy. Triple stoop. Call a dolphin an animal. Look, there's a group of them out there.
It was a school of 15 or 20 bottlenoses, curving around one another as they played together, looking like some sort of bizarre single creature.
Where were we?
The armorer snatched the moment to remove his glasses and fold them carefully into the safety of one of his jacket pockets.
You were rubbing my tit, you dirty old man. And that was getting me feeling kind of hot for you. And it looks like your pants have gotten too tight for you all of a sudden.
She touched him very gently. Their talk about nets and dolphins and the Institute of Peaceful Oceanographic Research was forgotten for the next hour or so. Michael was having a lesson in dolphin speak from the youngest woman on the team. Miranda Thorson was only 17, but Tomlin had introduced her as being the most valuable and exciting person in the place.
Already we can understand some elements of the dolphin's speech, distress and hunger, recognition of other members of their social group, and even good old clinical lust. But listening isn't the same as talking. And that's where Miranda here comes in.
Now the two teenagers were together in a small research tank, part of the dozens of different-sized pools that had been constructed on the ocean side of the Institute. The water was a little over 4 feet deep, clean and filtered, drawn in from the Atlantic a few yards away. Miranda was wearing a skimpy two-piece bathing suit in white cotton. When it had been dry, it had been revealing. Now that it was soaking wet, Michael was unable to ignore the fact that it had become almost transparent. It revealed the shape of the young woman's breasts, the nipples standing out like cherries in the cool water. Michael had borrowed a pair of dark green shorts. To his inordinate relief, they concealed far more than they revealed. Even so, he found himself cupping both his hands protectively over his groin. They had two young dolphins in the pool with them.
They aren't like most of the others I've seen out at sea, are they?
That's right. Those are mainly bottlenoses. These are smaller, black, with kind of round noses. These two are called 81 and 96.
Why not give them real names?
Human names? Like Marcia and John? That's called anthropomorphizing, Michael, and it's not what we do here with them.
The dolphins were swimming in tight, complex patterns, the smallness of the enclosure bringing them in constant contact with the two humans. Their skins were like hard silk, brushing against Michael's legs and stomach.
What kind are they?
Vaquitas.
Uh-huh. What do we do now? I can hear the weird noises they're making from above the water.
The teenager realized immediately that he'd screwed up again with Miranda.
Weird noises? Just what the fuck is that supposed to mean, you stoop outlander?
I'm sorry, just
the combination of clicks and whistles is unbelievably sophisticated, and I can decode it.
I'm sure, but...
You shit for brains! Each one has its own signature call. When they want to talk together, they'll imitate each other's trade call, like opening up a kind of line between them.
Her anger seemed to have communicated itself to the dolphins, who were circling faster, their tails breaking the surface in bursts of blinding spray.
All right, Miranda.
No, it's not all right.
Her rage seemed to be increasing rather than diminishing, making her pretty open face contort into a malevolent, threatening mask. Michael had already been living long enough in Deathlands to be aware of muties, creatures whose gene bank had been ravaged and spoiled by the appalling nuking of nearly a century earlier, and who had developed and mutated in sometimes horrific ways, like the monstrous snake that had nearly sent him down into the long sleep. Now, for the first time, it crossed his mind that Miranda Thorson could be a human mutie.
I'm getting out.
You limp dick bastard! I can speak to them. Me. Nobody else, not even Tomlin, can do that. I'll show you what I can do. This is what I'm here for. I'm part of the big plan.
Michael wondered what the big plan could be, but it was driven from his mind. Miranda took a deep sucking breath and dropped her head below the surface of the water. For a strange frozen moment, the two dolphins became still, floating as if they'd been plunged into suspended animation, their muzzles turning slowly toward the stooped figure of the young woman. Michael could see her mouth opening and closing, and hear the muffled sounds of the mammal's clicks and whistles, a sharp burst of incomprehensible noise. Then Miranda straightened, her face flushed, her eyes mirror bright.
Now you'll see.
As he began to back slowly away, the pair of dolphins erupted into galvanic action, coming in at him from opposite sides of the tank, one near the surface, the other close to the bottom. Though his reflexes were lightning fast, Michael had no chance to defend himself. 81 struck him just above the ankles, knocking him completely off balance, while 96 drove its blunt snout into his ribs, punching all the breath from his body. Michael went under and stayed under, kept there by the continuing pressure exerted by the two creatures battering at him, using their weight and power to hold him down. For the second time in days, Michael felt the air disappearing from his lungs, his mouth and nose flooding with cold salt water, and the darkness swimming into his brain, suffocating him. For the second time in a few days, he opened his eyes to discover that he wasn't dead after all, staring up into the faces of Ryan and Christy as he lay on his back on the sun-warmed concrete at the side of the pool. When they helped him to his feet, Michael walked unsteadily and looked at the placid, unruffled surface. The dolphins had vanished, and there was no sign of Miranda.
You look like you lost an argument with a mess of bouncers at a Pistol Gaudy.
You should get Mildred to check out some of those bruises. You could have cracked a rib. And get some ointment on those scratches. Then you can come around to our room and tell us just what happened.
Nothing happened. Just me being stupid. Miranda was going to show me how she can speak to those dolphins. I said something wrong and she...
showed you.
Ryan shook his head at the deep purple bruises just above the line of Michael's shorts, some of them leaking a trickle of watery blood.
Yeah, Michael, she sure showed you.
Doc immediately fell in love with Mark Tomlin's Institute of Peaceful Oceanographic Research. For an old scientist like him, it was almost like returning to his roots. Though a lot of the laboratory equipment was crude and rudimentary, the atmosphere of research was like a breath of life to Doc. For the first day, Tomlin treated him like a valuable specimen that he'd just acquired. But he quickly realized that Doc knew almost nothing about dolphins, nothing about marine biology, nothing about mammalian nervous dysfunctions. And so he'd lost interest in Doc. But that didn't much worry Doc. He said to Ryan that it was liberating to be able to walk around and watch other people at work in the range of labs.
I do believe that I could watch others at work for the duration of the livelong day and never find myself bored for even a single moment.
All of the friends had been given the complete run of the whole complex, with no doors locked against them, except for a couple of windowless buildings that stood separate from the rest, adjoining the quay. They were kept closed. Mark Tomlin explained that they held highly delicate equipment, much of it dating from way back before the apocalypse.
Balances, hydrographic scales, they're very susceptible to damp and salt. Some comp processors that we haven't quite managed to set to functioning yet, I'm sure that you understand.
But by the fifth day, Doc started to have the odd feeling that some things were being kept from them. Every time he walked into any of the labs, or wandered along, cane tapping on the sand-strewed stones, he was beginning to have the strange feeling that he was being watched.
Persecution complex, Theo. I'm not mad. They truly are out to get me. Was that the way the old joke went? I disremember. Best that I don't tell Calder. I rather think that the dear fellow suspects I'm already a few sandwiches short of a full picnic. A letter or two shy of a complete keyboard.
He spun like a skater pirouetting, and caught a glimpse of the pale blur of a face, visible for a moment behind a twitched blind.
There. I'm certainly not mad. Not even when the wind is northeasterly and a hawk is a handsaw. A fellow of infinite jest. I knew him, Emily. Oh, sweet Lord, Emily. My dearest wife. If only...
Great gobbets of tears coursed down Doc's chin, through the silvered stubble that clung stubbornly to the seams and wrinkles in his neck. He wasn't even conscious that he was still walking, now picking his way in silence through banks of soft, drifted sand, past the fringes of the gently lapping sea.
All a dream. I'm always dreaming. All I have to do is dream. To dream a little dream. Last night I had the sweet dream, strangest baby. I must keep my dreams as clean as silver. Clean dreams.
Doc's lips moved, but the words were washed away in the mild Florida westerly wind. Doc fumbled for his blue swallow's eye kerchief and dabbed at his bloodshot eyes, drying his wrinkled cheeks.
Upon my soul, this weeping dew that rectifies all wrongs doth wash away my